Hi. Once again, welcome to All Villages Presbyterian Church's Sunday morning worship. If you came to see Pastor Dustin, you saw him a few minutes ago. He's here doing the announcements. You get me today. I'm Elder Steve Sill, also commissioned lay pastor here at All Villages, and I get the honor and the privilege of occasionally coming up here and being able to share with you some things on my heart. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I gave a message, went over a couple of different things, and as we were talking to people afterwards, I made the comment, you know, I did things a little bit different the other day, and they said, well, I think it was Paul Lewis that said, well, you usually do things different. That's why we like you. So I'm going to take that as a compliment and roll forward. Today is going to be a little bit different as well. You'll see, as we always have homework at the end of the sermon, today you're going to get two. You're going to get one for Dustin, and you're going to get some homework from me. Actually, it's more of a challenge. You'll see that at the end. But in church people today, they're also going to have a little bit different. They're going to have a test that you don't have to have. So be glad you're seeing this online. Anyway, before we get going much farther, let's start with some prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this opportunity to share with this congregation. This congregation has been faithful and humble all through the things that we've gone through this past year. They've been here worshiping you, and I thank you for the wisdom you've given us to figure out how to get through these tough times. Now I ask that your words be my words, and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I said, the in-church people today are going to get a test, and part of that reason is today's sermon is part of a final exam for one of the classes I'm taking at Gordon-Conwell University. And today's subject, when I first was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, other than maybe stewardship, this might be one of the toughest ones to talk about. But then I started thinking about Bob Davis doing the stewardship message and combining baseball and stewardship, and it was one of the best messages I'd ever seen. So I guess maybe this subject is one of the toughest ones. Today, what I want to talk to you about is evangelism. And it's a word, for some reason, that makes us uncomfortable. It makes us nervous, especially newer people in the church. You hear evangelism, and it's a scary word. But really, why is that? I think there's a couple different reasons for that. First of all, when you hear the word evangelism, what do you picture in your head? What do you think about? Could it possibly be somebody like Billy Graham, who was more of a revivalist, but was probably, in our time, one of the best evangelists there were? I'm sure he's brought thousands of people to the church. His charismatic way, his elegant way of speaking, was just really radiating with people. In fact, one of the books I was reading, the author was talking about finally getting his neighbor into his house to watch Billy Graham on the TV. Now, this was a while ago, and apparently he had a black and white TV. And if you remember the old rabbit ears that you had to, you know, bend around and try to get a better signal, and we had the snow and the interference. Well, unfortunately, that day, that was very much what was happening to the TV, that the reception was not good, and he was thinking, wow, I've wasted this opportunity with this person. But even through all that, at the end of the show, when Billy Graham did an altar call, that man dropped to his knees and accepted God right there. So, you know, yes, that's evangelism. I don't think we have too many people here in the church at that level. If we do, however, see Pastor Dustin. I'm sure he can get you up here right away. We can use you. But what else do you think about when you hear the word evangelism? Do you think maybe about the people that go door to door? Well, that's evangelism, and that works to a certain degree, but I'm not necessarily talking about us doing door to door at this point. But what are some other evangelism? If you lived in Port St. Lucie long enough, you probably remember seeing Bob Smokey Barber. He used to sit on the corner on US-1, had a big wooden cross and a microphone, and he would just share his faith all day long. Again, yes, this is evangelism, but I'm not sure in today's society how effective that really all is. So that's one of the main reasons, I think, that when we think about evangelism, we visualize those things, and it makes us nervous. But what's the second reason about evangelism? Well, the fact is, we just don't like to talk about our faith to others. We're not comfortable doing it. And the question lends itself to why. Well, a writer of the book Reluctant Witness, Don Everts, gave us this thought. In our culture, there are times when speaking out of faith is pretty much the conversational equivalent of passing gas loudly. It can be awkward, embarrassing, and make people think less of us. Now, I know that's kind of an awkward saying, but think about it. It kind of hits the nail on the head. When you think about talking to others about your faith, often it can be awkward, it can be embarrassing, and you're worried that they're going to think less of you, which isn't usually the case. So, you know, what about sharing your faith? Well, there's a Barnum study that came out that said about the number of conversations in a year about faith by those people who self-identify as Christians. Now, they admit, you know, that they are from the Christian background. And this is across the board. Remember, you have some churches that evangelism is the main thing they do. They do a lot of evangelism. They do it after church. And then there's other churches, they just don't do it at all. So let's look a minute at those numbers. And what it shows is 9% of those people had no conversations in the last year about their faith. 32% had 1 to 2 conversations in a whole year about their faith, and 21% said 3 to 5 times in a year. So over 60% of people who proclaimed themselves as Christian had 5 to 0 conversations about their faith in a year. And there's some other reasons for that too. According to Barnum's study, 71% of people either agree or do not disagree with the statement that converting people to Christianity is the job of the church. And they're not referring to, like now, the church gathered. They're referring to what they call the professionals, the pastors, the teachers, that those people are the ones that are responsible for bringing people to the church, which isn't true. It is the church in general. We are responsible, as well as the pastors. Then going forward, also 57% of church-going Christians feel that the church has not properly trained them to share our faith. Let's see if we can't do something today to help that number. We do have some things for you today, some tools that I'm going to present, and actually some ways I think you'll understand that it's not really as difficult as we make it out to be. But first of all, let's look at some definitions. What is evangelism? And the funny thing is, there is no one hat fits all definition for evangelism. So there's been many attempts of defining it by all the different churches and groups. So I've looked at probably myself about 25 of them. I'm going to share just a couple with you. This first one is from PCUSA. That's our former denomination. And this one came out in 1960. And it's a little bit long, so please bear with me. Evangelism is all the church is and does to present Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, that men may put their trust in God through him, receive him as Savior from the guilt and power of sin, and serve him as Lord in the fellowship of the church. Again, it's kind of long. It's a little confusing. There's actually been arguments over, okay, it's all encompassing. It's saying basically everything in the church is evangelism. So is worship service evangelism? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Is Bible studies evangelism? Are youth groups evangelism? The question becomes, then what isn't evangelism? And does that mean that everything corporate, everything through the church is doing evangelism? So there's a lot of confusion with that one. I'm going to share a couple of them that I like. One of them is from the United Methodist Church. Again, it's a little bit long, so please stay with me. The aim of evangelism is to bring all persons into living, active fellowship with God through Jesus Christ as divine Savior and Lord, and through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit to gather them into the fellowship of the church and lead them to express their Christian discipleship in every area of human life that the kingdom of God may be realized. Again, kind of long, pretty inclusive. It has a lot of good elements. There are a few elements of it missing. But the one I kind of like is the one from the Lutheran Church of America. Just listen to this one. Evangelism is the free and joyous telling. Now, when I think of free and joyous telling of the story of Christ, the definition to me of free and joyous telling is ask Paula Van Salen sometime how she's doing. And that it, her response is always free, and it's joyous, and it's wonderful to listen to. So if you ever had that experience, imagine that. Evangelism is the free and joyous telling of a story of Jesus of Nazareth, who both taught and brought the lordship of God among people and all the power of God to all. This message is for everyone. I like that. This message is for everyone, whether inside or outside the church. It is not only the person who has never heard of Christ that needs to be told or reminded of the good news. Church members need it to keep their faith strong. Here's a key sentence, so listen to this. It is not the responsibility of the evangelist to convert or convict. I'm going to say that again. It is not the responsibility of the evangelist to convert or convict. They are only responsible for telling the story straight and showing by their manner that they believe it is true. That should take some pressure off you right there. It's not our responsibility. It's not your responsibility to get that person to church. It's your responsibility to plant a seed in that person. More on that in a little bit. Evangelism is two stories. It's God's story, and it's our own story. It's a recounting of our experience of the power of God in Christ, working in our world and in our life, as well as recounting of God's mighty works in our world, in our life. That is a really long but very full and accurate description, I think, of evangelism. Now, again, it is a little bit long. Can't really remember it, but it is such a good definition. If you want that, I'll get it to you. But at the end of today, we're actually going to make our own definition that is short and can be remembered. So let's take a look just for a minute. What do the scriptures say about evangelism? Well, we're going to start right off with Matthew 28, and it's also known as the Great Commission. George McElrath, Pastor George, did a wonderful job of going through this about a month or so ago. I'm just going to go back over a little bit of it, and then I have some points to make. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age." Now, I know a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, isn't that about discipleship? And it is about discipleship. But if you think about it, how can we give discipleship? How can we teach about Jesus Christ if they haven't been introduced to it? How can we have a mechanic be taught how to work on a car if he doesn't even know what a motor is? Or if you have an electrician, how can an electrician be trained on how to wire your house if he doesn't know what electricity is? You got to know who Jesus Christ is before we can really get deep into the training, into the discipleship of that person. So then the next one I'm going to go to is 1 Corinthians 3 through 6. It says, "I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it." Again, there's that reference to planting the seed. It's not a responsibility to do the whole sales show. We need to plant those seeds to get that person started in their faith. "Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have a purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor." So again, we're talking about there's that thought of it is our responsibility to plant seeds in people. See, there's three entities into any good evangelism act. there's God who puts us in front of people, or puts people in front of us, for us to, the second person, plant that seed. And at that point, it becomes the Holy Spirit's job to take that seed, grow into that person the thoughts and the faith to get them involved in the church. Now, it's interesting that one of the things that we talked about in our study was, it actually takes, and here's another thing to kind of take that pressure off you. I believe it takes hearing the gospel 5 times by 3 different people over a 4-year period for the average person to actually make a commitment to go to church. Not to become part of the church, but to go to church. So again, we want to be either that first person to put that, you know, plant that first seed, or that last person that maybe push that does that push. But it's not all up to us to get those people to church. Then the Colossians 4 and 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that they may know you, they may know how to answer, you may know how to answer everyone. Now again, this was the one that Pastor Dustin had shared with us not too long ago. And if you think about it, he's talking about looking for those opportunities. Look for those opportunities where you can share your faith. And also be prepared. Prepared for when those opportunities come to you. And one last one, just a quick one. This is 1 Peter 3 and 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about, if you look, remember back at the Great Commission, it was talking about going and doing. It was telling the disciples to go and do. And we might get the image that, for the most part, then they, at that point, they left and they went to all the different villages and they maybe did preaching out in the open to get people understand about Christ. But that didn't last very long, actually, that type of evangelism. After the first two people, the first two disciples were martyred, there was still some of that preaching going on, but a lot of it became indoors. It became more close-knit. The evangelism, discipleship became more with family and close friends, people that are around them. Well, think about that for a minute. What does that sound like? It sounds like something we've been talking about for a long time. Those people around us is who they shared with. And even though they were inside now and not outside, growth was exponential. It was huge at that point. So think about this for a minute. Again, what does this sound like? Frontline. They were talking with their front lines, their friends, their family, the people that were close to them. If you remember, we've talked about this before. I share kind of the credit union commercial, the old, you know, join where you work, worship, and live. So that's where your front line is. It's where you work. It's where you spend a great deal of your time if you're still working. It's where you worship. Yes, even here within our church, there's still people we need to continue to disciple and evangelize with to keep their faith alive and live. And I don't mean live. When I say live, I'm not talking about at your home. Where you live your life, whether it be at the gym, whether it be getting your hair cut, going shopping, wherever it is you are, playing pickleball, that's your front line. And that's the people that we talk to when we evangelize. So I talked about earlier trying to make an easier definition for evangelism. So let's kind of go back over what we've talked about and see what we can come up with. So what's the first part? I love that freely and joyfully part, so we're going to borrow that. Evangelism, freely and joyfully planting seeds about the love and grace of Jesus Christ. To who? To our front lines and those God puts us in front of. To allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, growing in those people in faith and bringing them into the fold of the church. That's a little bit shorter I think it's something that we can maybe memorize and share with others if we need to. But it's just a good way of thinking about what evangelism is. See, folks, I hope that I've shared with you that evangelism is nothing to be afraid of. This is something that we can do. We've been talking about our front lines for a long time. We work through our front lines. And we, as we work through our front lines, we can share and plant seeds so the Holy Spirit can do his work. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share today. I hope that through your words, being my words, that we have shown that being an evangelist, doing evangelism, yeah, it's scary, but it's something that we can do. It's doable. And how important it is to evangelize, to keep the faith of this wonderful religion going. Lord, give us the wisdom, give us the knowledge on how to move forward, how to talk to people. Make us strong and comfortable in those situations. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done with us. You are a good Lord. Very gracious, very loving, and we all know it and appreciate it. I say these all in your heavenly name. Amen. Hi, and welcome back for the final word. Today I want to share with you a parable. It's a parable written by Theodore Weddle, and it's a very powerful parable. It's a little bit long, but I'd like you to just listen to the words and listen for the connection to what this has to do with evangelism and the church. Here we go. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there once was a little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thoughts of themselves, they went out day and night tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved, and various others in the surrounding area, wanted to become associated with the station and gave their time and money and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought, new crews were trained. The little life station grew. Some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as first refuge for those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the large building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for members, and they decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they used it as a sort of a club. Fewer members now were interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decoration, and there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crew brought in boatloads of cold and wet and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick. Some of them had black skin, some of them had yellow skins. The beautiful new clubhouse was in chaos. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where the victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop doing the life-saving activities altogether as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some of the members insisted upon life-saving as the primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. They did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that occurred to the old one. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. History continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people drown. Folks, let's not become a club. Let's remember that part of evangelism, part of what we do as a church, is save lives. So as we, community is great, it's awesome, but remember our main purpose of a church is to go and do, to evangelize and save lives. We can do this. Let's remember that. Okay, have some homework for you. Remember at the beginning I told you we're gonna have two of them. The first one is for Pastor Dustin for next week. He said just study Philippians, so jump in and read Philippians in preparation for next week. If you remember, I also said, I have a challenge for you. So here's my challenge. You remember that we talked about how few people say or share their faith. Well, my challenge to you is this week, share your faith with one person who is not in your immediate family or is not in your small group. I know we can do this. Be creative. There's a great segue to beginning conversations. We just take baby steps in these things. You could tell somebody, hey, my church has a pumpkin patch if you need pumpkins. And I guarantee you, the very next question is going to be, what church do you go to? The door has been cracked open. Step through it. That's my challenge for you this week. And if you get a chance, you do it, let me know. Now, prepare for the benediction. And this benediction means so much more. If you listen to the message today, if you understood what I was saying, this benediction means a lot. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in you being there. God who indwells in you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.